I think this is probably the most apropos intro.
Third down. Frost to the middle. Juggle. Diamond touchdown, Nebraska. Davison on the deflection. Nebraska's a point away from tying the game.
Yeah, we go back to November 8th, 1997, one of those moments. If you see it, you never forget it. He is the fine radio analyst for Nebraska football and basketball. Ducks travel to Lincoln for a huge non-con. It is our pleasure to welcome in Matt Davison. Matt, thanks for your time. How's it going?
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. I love that intro. I always tell people, you know, I'm glad that that play made Scott Frost's career. You know, I mean, it might have done a little bit for me, too. But I always tell Scott, without that play, who knows where he'd be today.
You know, it's amazing because you go back, and to you, obviously, you could probably walk through it in your sleep, but for those of us, 7 seconds left, ball on the Tiger 12, you guys are right in the thick of things for the national title. So what do you remember? What's the play call? What's your route? And what made you redirect back to where the intended receiver was?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. The play was called 99 double slant, and it was just a spread formation, two-by-two wide receivers, and we were all running slant patterns, and Scott Frost, you know, dropped back, didn't really see anybody open on the left side where I was, and went back to the right side, threw it to Chevin Wiggins, and he got hit. The ball went off his foot somehow. You know, I ended up in the right spot to dive and catch it. I always tell Frost he threw it to the wrong guy, and so I had to come all the way across the field and make the play. If he just would have thrown it to me to begin with, we wouldn't have had to make it, you know, so dramatic. But it was pretty crazy, man. I was an 18-year-old freshman right out of high school and went to a small school in Nebraska. So playing for the number one team in the nation and winning the national title that year for a kid from Nebraska was pretty special.
Now, the interesting thing is, obviously, the connection here to Scott Frost, who brought his no-block, no-rock mentality as a receivers coach, then as an offensive coordinator got to the national championship game. He was a senior, you were a freshman. When you think about the trajectory of his career as a coach, what strikes you?
Nothing surprising to me. You know, Scott is a talented guy, and I knew he was always going to be a great coach, no matter where he ended up. And I was able to come out to Eugene a couple of different times and spend some time with him and go to practice and meet, back in the day, meet Chip Kelly, and then also meet Mark Helfrich a few times as well. So, you know, I'm familiar with your program, and Scott's just a talented guy. You know, he gets players to play hard for him. He communicates well with his players. He's a good recruiter. We were in each other's weddings, so we're pretty good buddies.
That's awesome. We continue with Husker radio analyst Matt Davison. I want to get back to the end of the 2014 season when the Huskers fired Bo Pelini, who'd never won less than 9 games in a season, and a ripple effect obviously felt out here in Corvallis. Enter Mike Riley. What do you recall as the thinking among Nebraska fans and media about terminating Pelini and bringing in Riley?
Well, it was a lot of mixed emotions, you know, and a lot of mixed opinions about it. For some fans, it was that Bo had, you know, won 9 or 10 games every year at Nebraska. He got us to 2 conference championship games, both of which we had a chance to win in the last 30 seconds of the game. And came up short against Texas and Oklahoma in those 2 games. And got us to a Big Ten championship game, and we got beat up pretty bad in that game by Wisconsin. So he actually got us to 3 conference title games. And some fans felt like that was enough, that he deserved a little more time here. And then some fans felt like some of the things that he did on the field, some of his antics, and some of his inability to get along with the media was enough to maybe make a change. And so I think there's one conversation about whether or not Nebraska should have kept Bo Pelini or not, and then I think there's a whole nother conversation amongst Nebraska fans on, you know, who should Nebraska have hired, because those are 2 different conversations, and it was just a crazy time in Nebraska for sure over the month of December.
Matt, the Ducks just had the second longest sellout streak end at 110. Of course, Nebraska has the record now, closing in on 350. For perspective, I turn 56 next month. JFK was in the White House. How would you describe the passion of that fan base and what game day means for Big Red fans for now more than a half century?
Well, obviously success obviously helped a lot when you go to sell all these tickets for all of these years. Nebraska was fortunate to have a lot of success for many decades. From 1968 or 9 on, Nebraska was really winning a lot. And, mix in five national championships. And really, the people of the state of Nebraska embraced this football program, and they passed it on generation to generation. And for those Duck fans that are traveling to Lincoln, we hope they have a great time. I think Nebraskans pride themselves on kind of, having open arms to those fans that come in from other schools, be it a conference game or a non-conference game. And so we want them to have a great time. Lincoln, the weather's supposed to be good this weekend, and it's one of the special places in college football. Obviously, there's many that have a lot of tradition. Nebraska is one of the ones at the top with the most tradition, and a really special place to see a game. So a lot of commitment from our fans, a lot of people that work really hard to pay for these tickets. They're not cheap. And the whole state of Nebraska only has about 1.8 million. And a lot of those people over the years have sacrificed a lot to buy all those tickets and support the players. And as a former player, I can tell you that those 4 years, the support that we've received is just it's unbelievable. It's a great experience for a college kid.
It's spectacular. I just dated myself. Like, the first big game I remember was 71. Johnny Rogers, Greg Pruitt. And I'm sure by now you could probably recite that. But I'll tell you what's really odd. That was the Big 8, then the Big 12. Sometimes when I'm researching, I still go to the Big 12 scoreboard to check on the Huskers. What did you and those you're close to think about that move to the Big 10? Because I don't know if it's Maryland not in the ACC. To me, it just still looks odd.
Well, I think everything changed when Nebraska went to the Big 12, even, because all of a sudden when we went to the Big 12, you had the North and South divisions, and Nebraska and Oklahoma didn't play every year. And that took a big tradition away from Nebraska and Oklahoma. Eesh. And the old Big 8. And for nationwide, I mean, Nebraska-Oklahoma for many, many years was the game. And so to not play them, the Big 12, I think made a big mistake there. And then you fast forward, many years throughout the Big 12, and I think people were unhappy with some of the decisions that were made within the Big 12. Texas obviously had a big voice. So at the time, I think it was, again, probably split. I think some people were excited about the Big 10 move. And then there were others that weren't excited at all. For those listeners that don't know much about the geography of the Big 12 and the Big 10, Nebraska could easily drive to Iowa State and to Kansas State and to Kansas. Even Oklahoma State and Oklahoma were 6-7 hour drives. And now the closest game is Iowa, which is from Lincoln about 5.5 hours. And the next closest game is Madison, Wisconsin, or Chicago, which is 8 or 10 hour drive. So it's been much more difficult on our fans to travel. Obviously, we go all the way to Maryland now. We go to Rutgers. We go to, Penn State. I mean, these are long trips and difficult places to get to. And so for our fan base, it's been tough, I think, to go to road games. There's no question that academically going to the Big Ten was probably a big move and a good move. But athletically, I think it's still probably split amongst the fan base whether or not they would go back to the Big 12 or not.
Well, as somebody born and raised in Jersey, I got to be honest, I never looked at Lincoln as a commute. let's get to this current Nebraska team. You look at the final score. They tore up two lesser opponents. Last week, though, against Wyoming, it was 24-17 entering the fourth. Big Red had five interceptions, won the turnover battle. Kind of a strange game. What stuck out to you is maybe why the Huskers took so long to shake them before they finally put them away?
It's a great question. I think you look at the final scores and you think it was domination, and it really wasn't. Going into the fourth, it was 24-17, and at that point, Wyoming had missed two field goals and Nebraska had a pick six, and it was still just 24-17. So the Cowboys put up a good fight, and I think Nebraska, you know, really had a hard time running the ball. Wyoming did a good job with run blitzes. They brought people from different areas on the field. They really put a lot of pressure on the running game and forced Nebraska to throw the ball. And fortunately, Nebraska's best players on offense are the wide receivers. Tommy Armstrong can be hot and cold, but he has some weapons out on the outside. And so if Nebraska's forced to throw the ball, they have the ability to do it. Last year, the turnovers were a big bugaboo for this team. And so, you know, I there's no question Nebraska can throw the ball and be effective doing it, but turnovers have been a big issue for a couple of years now.
Now, obviously, very few programs could be called blue bloods, and very few have a history of elite offensive linemen to match Nebraska. They lost one of their guards, Alex Lewis, who's already starting for the Ravens, two returning starters, and you know, their position coach, Mike Cavanaugh, is obviously familiar to us out here in Oregon. What do you like about this group of offensive linemen he's put together for this season?
Well, Nebraska lost their starting left guard in training camp, Gerald Foster, and he was a good run blocker, and it was a big loss to this team. And Sam Hunt has stepped in and done a good job. But anytime you lose one of your starters, it's a tough deal. And Coach Cavanaugh is a stud, by the way. I love that guy. And, and you know, he's put these guys together. And so far, I think early in the year, it's hard to tell. You know, you're two games in, and as you said, they're lesser opponents. Maybe, we might not face another team that is like those two. And so thus far, they've been pretty good. They've protected Tommy enough when he's dropped back to throw it. In the first game, we ran the ball well. In the second game, we didn't. But some of that was determined by just Wyoming's ability defensively to just make Nebraska throw it by the way they lined up defensively. So I think we're going to find out a lot this week. I know Oregon's defense has been hot and cold as well, but we're going to face better athletes this weekend than we faced the first two, without question. And our offensive line is going to have a chance to do some good things this weekend, or we're going to find out that this Nebraska offensive line has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, obviously Oregon's got a young line as well, as we continue with radio analyst Matt Davison. Eye on the Husker defense, another longtime Riley assistant, Mark Banker, the coordinator. And, you know, he's struggled to stop this Oregon hurry-up in recent years. You've got an experienced secondary, Nathan Jerry, the corner, Josh Kalu, Josh Banderas at middle linebacker. But the new line coach, four new starters, what's your early feel for this defense and maybe how they match up against these Ducks?
Well, Nebraska lost four of their top five defensive linemen from a year ago, and that's hard to replace. Two of those guys went in the top three rounds of the draft, and a couple at one transferred, and another guy just flat out quit, and he was a good player. So four of the top five defensive linemen out. And, you know, obviously Coach Banker and Mike Riley haven't had a ton of success recently against the Ducks, and that can be true for a lot of teams,
yeah,
though, right? I mean, that offense is really good, and not a lot of teams have had much success stopping them. And so I don't think there's a lot of shame in that. But, you know, definitely I think Mark Banker has better players at Nebraska now than what he had when he was at Oregon State as a whole. Nebraska's secondary is pretty talented. We have a bunch of guys back there that can really run and play. And you don't want your secondary making all the tackles, but when you're playing against Oregon and that rushing attack, and the way they spread you out, speed that they bring, you better have guys that can run, you better have guys that can tackle. And I think Nebraska right now has about as good a secondary as we've had in a while. I think we're still learning how good our linebackers are, and up front defensively, it's a bunch of new guys. And through 2 weeks, I think they played okay, but again, we're going to face the best offense by a mile that we've seen all season. We're going to face better athletes probably at the skill position this Saturday than we might see all season long. That includes Ohio State. So they're going to really be tested. This is going to be a big, big test for this defense. And no matter how you look at personnel and how you look at who can do what, you still can't prepare for the pace that Oregon plays with. You can try and practice, and you can try to tell your players, hey, they're going to get back over the ball and snap it quickly. You can practice it all you want, and until you see it run by players that are used to running it, and until Oregon puts together a 6, 7, 8, 9 plays in a row, and you start seeing guys really sucking air out there, then all of a sudden you go, oh, man, this is a different deal. So it's not just the personnel that Oregon brings. It's that pace in the offense that's going to cause some problems for sure.
All right, that is some terrific information. Matt's been awesome having you as our guest. You can keep up with him via Twitter. Use the handle Matt_Davison. We look forward to having this conversation with you here next September. Greatly appreciate your time and insight. Have a great broadcast. And, again, Matt, thanks so much for your time. You have a great one.
You too, buddy. Thanks for having me on. I'll come out early next year, and in fact, there's a couple of Duck fans I've met over the years that I'm going to host this weekend, so I root for the Duckies when I'm not rooting for the Huskers, so I wish you guys the best.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.